Hi readers, welcome to the Something Bookish podcast. My name is Amin, aka Lip Gloss Mafia, aka the Crazy Book Lady, aka your bookish bestie. I hope I am. I really do. I really hope I'm your bookish bestie. Like when you think of books, you just think of me and you smile like, oh, Amin, she's so crazy. Welcome to the Something Bookish podcast, y'all. On this podcast, I talk about all things books and reading, from book lists to reviews, musings, tips and tricks. Hold on. I feel like the audio that's my backing music is a bit too loud, so I'm going to reduce that a little bit. How is that? Okay, so I have to go back to what I was saying before. So on this podcast, I talk about all things books and reading, from book lists to reviews, musings, tips and tricks, and the occasional guest chat. So think of this space as a virtual lounge, but for bookish people who are very chill and very cool and cultured, obviously. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the dark side. And if this is not your first time listening to the podcast, hey, how you doing? I missed you. Readers, this is the 78th episode. I really hope I got that number right. Yeah, 78th. This is the 78th episode. And on this episode, I will be having a chat with Noko Kanya of Pretty X Bookish. Do you know that account on Instagram? It's one of my favorite accounts because just the look and feel alone is orgasmic. And it's a page I enjoy going to just to browse when I'm feeling blue and I just want to look at book pictures to feel good about the world. I go to Noko Kanya's page and just... It's just a lovely page. You should check it out. I will be chatting with her in this episode. And I know I say this about all the chats that I've had, but this is like one of my favorite book chats yet. So as you know, when I'm chatting with a reader, I asked them to share 5 books they'd like to recommend and 1 book that they did not really feel jiggy with. So yeah, there's lots of book recommendations, and we talk about how she balances books and reading with travel and work and how she maintains the overall vibe of her page, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but she makes it look so easy. So we chat about that. We chat about a lot of things. This chat is very interesting, if I do say so myself. But before we get into it, a little housekeeping, okay? Let's see. What would I like to share with you? If you are not following me on the socials and you would like to do that, my handles are Lip Gloss Mafia. That's LipGlossMaffia. My mafia is 2 F's. It's not 1 F. Because, you know, I like to be double fisted. Sorry. Never mind. I did not mean to say that. I mean, not like it's a bad thing. But like, that was not what I had it in my head. I just did not intend for it to come out of my mouth, okay? And if you do not hear that, just keep going. There's no need to rewind, okay? All right. So, just follow me on Instagram, Lip Gloss Mafia, or you can follow our account, Something Bookish. That's something _ bookish. You can do that. And yeah, it's a really fun thing that I do online. I share books and talk about books, and it's fun. Follow me. Okay. Also, I should let you know, my Lip Gloss Mafia page has finally crossed 10k. Whoop, whoop. Yay, yay. That's me making excited noises. All right. Next on the agenda, I have been invited to Kaba Fest. That is the Kaduna State Arts and Book Festival. I have never been to the northern part of Nigeria, so I'm very excited about this. It's my first time in Kaduna State. And your girl is going to be facilitating a whole workshop. I'm going to be teaching folks on how they can be fellow book people online, book activists. I like to call us activists. The outside world will call you a book influencer, but I feel like we're more book activists because we take this shit seriously. And my goal is, I mean, it's not exactly something that can be taught, but it's something that can be fine-tuned because it's already in you. You just want to talk about books, and I'm just here to pave the way in that workshop. That's my plan. So I'm very excited about that. Also, the festival is like from May 1st to May 5th. Do you think I should also do an audio diary like I did for Ake Festival 2023? Let me know. I'm leaning towards it, but I don't know. Do you want me to do it? Should I do it? Ginger me. Give me the required hype. All right? Send me a message. What else is on the agenda? Yeah, subscribe to the newsletter. Please subscribe to the newsletter. I know I haven't shared the letter since January. I have been falling my hand, but I would rectify that as soon as I can. Okay, I just haven't been able to pen stuff in a while, but I will rectify that. And if you subscribe, you can check out old letters that I've shared in the past. And honestly, I do feel I'm very wise, and I have shared a lot of wise stuff on the newsletter. So subscribe to the newsletter. The link is in the show notes. Finally, please support my ministry by buying me a cup of coffee. And all you have to do is follow the link in the show notes, or if you follow me on Instagram or Twitter, the link in my bio would actually lead you to a page. You will see a cup of coffee. The only thing you should note though is that page only accepts Naira. So if you want to donate anything, you have to convert your currency to the Naira and then put the amount and your card details and la-di-da-di-da. Pretty easy. Thank you so much again for always supporting me. For this episode, I was drinking something very basic. I was having a vodka cranberry, you know, taking me back to my young days or whatevs. I don't want to make this intro too long. I can't wait for you to listen to this interview. Again, not interview, book chat. I cannot wait for you to listen to this book chat. I know you're going to learn a thing or two. Without further ado, let's talk books, shall we? Hi, Noku Kanya. Welcome to the Something Bookish podcast.
How are you?
I'm good. I've been meaning to get you on the podcast since last year.
I thought maybe we're beefing. I'm seeing other people on the podcast. My invite.
My bad. All right. So I have, usually when I'm doing reader interviews, I would have asked you to prepare some books you'd like to recommend. But before we get to that, do you have like five books already you want to recommend?
I do. I have. Yeah.
Was it easy to select those five?
No, it really wasn't. I feel like two. Like, yeah, I had to go back and forth. But like, yeah, I only have one go-to book that I always recommend, and then the rest of them I had to think, okay, what would I actually recommend? And I wanted to be like a lot of genres. So yeah, it was a bit hard, but I think I did good.
Okay, that's fair. So I think there's a question people always ask readers, yeah? And I feel like it's very cliche, and I don't personally have the answer to that because I don't have memories from that age, but I always see this question everywhere. What was the first book you remember reading? Also, did you grow up in like a reading household?
No, I feel like my brother, first of all, hasn't read a book since like Thabo Mbeki was president. Like, it's been ages. My dad also is not like a big reader. My mom is only a reader now, but she got it from me. Like, it was the other way around. My mom wasn't like a big reader. Interesting. Yeah, my mom is low-key like a book influencer on Facebook. Like, her and her old school friends, like, she'd be running those Facebook streets. No, but I feel like I can't remember the first book. I always get asked this question as well. And I think I would say, like, vaguely, I think the whole Mary-Kate and Ashley universe was probably my first my first time like properly reading and properly getting into it. Because I think, remember when they were like, they had us in a chokehold with the movies, and then and I was obsessed with them. So then it just like kind of off-ramped from like movies and then the TV show. And then I was just like, what else? And then I bought merch, and then I was like, oh my God, they have books. And then I dived into that. And then I had like all of their books. Like they have like people didn't realize they have like four book series that have like 50 books a series. Like it's
Yeah, they
actually
do have a lot of books.
incredible. Yeah, they have a lot of books. So yeah, that probably would be the answer. And then after that, it was Twilight. Twilight had me in a chokehold. Yeah, I was part of that era. Yeah.
My sister, she also became a reader from me. My mom has always been a reader, and she was the one who started. I think now that I'm all grown up, I feel like it was one of my mom's parenting tactic, because she was working a lot when I was growing up. So she just used to like give me books, and then she was working at a school at the time. I think that's how I also became a fast reader. She would get books from the library, and then she'll say, you can get another book if you finish this one on time. And because I was enjoying the book so much and I wanted more books, my pace just increased. And then I started reading. And yeah, that's how my own reading journey started. My mom scammed me into the whole thing
I feel like I
because.
was super awkward as well. I'm still awkward now. So like as a kid, like I just think like I used to like go out and do stuff with friends, but I've always found it so uncomfortable. So like I feel like that's also why I started reading. I just genuinely prefer to be inside my house like a book, and I think it just kind of off-ramped from there. And my mom was so happy that I was reading and not doing all the rest of the stuff. Now she hates it because like books cost 60 million rand and I read so quickly. She got to the point where she was just like, okay, like we probably shouldn't have started this, because now every Sunday we'd go from church to grocery
Bookstore.
shopping and then bookstore, and I'd come back with like four books, and she's like, why? And I'm like, well, I finished last week's books, girl. We gotta keep up, but you gotta keep up.
My goodness, I get it. Okay, so we have to get into your Bookstagram journey a little bit. But you're not just Bookstagram, you're also doing lifestyle and travel content. But Bookstagram, how did you have to transition your personal page, or did you start your IG for Bookstagram? Did you have one of those name changes?
I have my own personal page. So like my personal
Okay.
page used to be where I posted books, and then like my friends were like, we don't give a damn. Us like and like the my I don't have any friends, so none of my friends are readers, so like it just got to the point where I was just like, I'm not getting like the hype reaction I need from like book reviews. And then I think it's one of those things where like because I was posting books, the algorithm back when the algorithm was still doing proper work instead of
What it
what
was supposed to do.
now, well, yeah, when it was doing what it was supposed to do, it was showing me like people who read tons of books, and I was like, oh my God, what is this? And then I saw the hashtag Bookstagram, and I clicked on it. I was like, oh my God, where are we? I feel like one of the first people I followed, I think, was actually Tracy. Stack the Stacks.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think Tracy is one of the first people I followed, and then yeah, and then it just kind of off-ramped from there. And then I just decided, you know what, let me start my own page. And then I did it, and I was so nervous because I was like, oh my God, like if I scrolled down the other day because I was doing a lecture, and I was looking for my first post, and I was just like, oh my God, look at her, she's so cute with her blonde hair, thinking she's doing something. Anyway, yeah, so I just started posting because I was like, oh, and then it just kind of snowballed from there, and I was just like, oh my God, I love it here, it's so fun. And the travel lifestyle part of it is just, I think I've just started traveling a lot more, and I think it's just been like a natural, I guess, progression because of the fact that I typically shoot all my Bookstagram photos on location. I've always done that. I don't like shooting inside my house. Like I give very big props to the flat lay girlies. And I've said this before, I cannot get a handle on it. I do not have the skill set to shoot in my house, like to do the props and then the book and the flowers. I
It
can't
takes
do
a lot of work.
it. It always
Yeah,
looks
it does.
so bad when I do it, which is the reason why I started shooting at cafes and taking books outside, because I was like, okay, this is just like, it was just making more sense. And that's how the travel part of it has just kind of off-ramped from there, because now I just travel and I take photos of my books when I'm there. So it's just been like a natural progression. But
But
yeah.
what's the logistics like for you though? That's a lot of books. Or do you just buy the books when you get somewhere?
I don't. And people keep asking me this question. And you know what? Like, my bag is always like on the brink of being overweight, precisely for this reason, because I do not, I always travel with my books. And like I was saying the other day that I actually curate what I'm going to read on a trip based off of the book cover and where I'm going. So like when I was in Morocco, I was like picking books that I felt like would look cute in Morocco because
Oh
that's how my brain works. Because I'm
my
thinking, especially because I'm thinking, okay, these are all on my TBR. So it's not like I want to read all of these. Let me just choose something that's going to be a vibe. But yeah, my bag is always, it's always a crisis because I also like hardbacks, which is now something I'm moving away from. I'm starting to get a lot more paperbacks. So it's not a sustainable way to travel. But and the thing is, I travel with my Kindle as well, but I just feel like Kindle photos, they just don't pop the
Yeah,
same.
it
You know
doesn't
what I mean?
pop. It doesn't pop. It
Yeah.
I think I personally I use Kindle stuff or like graphics just for filler posts sometimes because
Yeah.
maybe I just really have to talk about this book and I don't have a copy anywhere, but like I just have to talk about it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to add it there. If you like it, you like it.
Yeah, every once in a while, I feel like when I do an audiobook that I really liked or a book that
Yeah.
like I liked it, but like I really am not gonna buy the actual physical book. I will do, but I think that's why TikTok has been really helpful for me because that's where I do all my ramblings about the romance books that I'm reading on my Kindle because I read so much on my Kindle that I never talk about on IG because first of all, I have a reputation to uphold as an upstanding member of the community, and I just really don't need the IG streets to see what I'm actually reading. So on TikTok is where I talk about the other stuff that I'm reading, and I found it helpful to kind of balance it that way. But yeah, no, like I give props to the girls who can make it work, but me, I just don't have that. I don't have the vision to make it work with a Kindle and to make it work with just graphics. Like I like the physical books. Also, I feel like my library needs the physical books. Otherwise, what am I even doing?
Fair. That, but you did say you curate outfits with books that you're going to take with the location you're going to. So is it safe to assume you're not a mood reader? Or does the Kindle help with that?
Actually am, and you'll notice people, I always say this, when I travel, you'll always notice that I have multiple genres with me because I am a mood reader. So I'll always take a romance, I'll take a fantasy, I'll take a lit fic. I usually will take two romances, one queer, one normal, because I do tend to be like, sometimes I'm just like, nah, I don't feel like reading this fantasy right now. I'm in a mood for romance this morning or this afternoon, or like I'll just be like in the evening before I sleep, when I'm on a trip, I'll be like, I feel like reading fantasy right now. So I do try to mix and match it because if I just traveled with one genre, I would be in a crisis because like I'll be halfway through a book and be like, no, I don't want it anymore. And it's like I'm enjoying the book, but I'll be like, no, I don't feel like reading this right now. So yeah, my whole life is just like, that's why even when people ask me how I read multiple books at the same time, I'm always like, guys, you read multiple genres. Like, if you're reading a nonfiction and a romance and a fantasy, these things have nothing to do with each other. Why would you be
At
getting
all, like
confused?
you can't even mix up the storylines, it's
Honestly, like,
impossible.
how would you be getting confused?
Well, I think it's more of a them problem, especially if you're having it in different formats. Like, it's actually not that hard. This is where you insert the Reese Witherspoon meme thingy from Legally Blonde.
Like
It's
it's
not that hard.
and it's a genuine thing that people seem to be so baffled by, and I'm just like, guys, what is difficult about reading more than one book at a time? I actually think it's much harder to read one book at a time than it is to read multiple because I'm,
Yes.
yeah, like
Oh
if
my
you're reading,
God.
I find
I
that,
can't. I actually can't focus on one book at it. I
yeah.
can't.
I actually also can't do it. And it's funny because even when I sit down and I'm like, you know, when you do like you've got your tea and you're reading sprint, I will read like 50 or 40 pages of a book and put it down and I'm still reading. I'll just pick up the next book and read another chapter from there because I can't, my brain cannot focus on a single book for that long, even if I'm enjoying it. Like I need a break so I can absorb and then move on to something else. Otherwise, I'm just going to get very irritated.
Amen to that. Okay, so about Bookstagram, what's like I don't want to say aside its community because everybody always says community. What is your favorite thing about Bookstagram? And if there was one thing you could change, say you were president of the universe, if you could change something about Bookstagram, what would it be?
Oh, I think my favorite thing about Bookstagram, honestly, it is the people that I've met.
Yeah,
It is,
at the
because
end of the
at
day.
the end of the day, it is the people that I've met, because actually, like, as someone who struggles to make friends in real life, like, I find Bookstagram and all you guys and my friends that I've made on Bookstagram, I just find it so much, I find the relationship so much, they've just enriched my life so much. And I think that, like, that's why I feel like it's really confusing to me when people are just like, Bookstagram has lost its sense of community. I was just like, I don't understand what that means. It's as it's not a I feel like people think Bookstagram, it's not a kumbaya sorority. There's no way you're gonna be friends with 300 other people. It just doesn't work like that. Like, you find five or six people who are your actual friends, and then you keep it moving. Like, people expect, yeah, that's one of those rants I have about Bookstagram, is that
I saw your rant.
people expect people to be friends for absolutely no reason. And I'm just thinking in my head, like, that's not how it works in real life. Like, this, I was seeing this, like, these posts of people saying that, like, Bookstagram is very clicky. And I'm just like, okay, but, like, is it clicky, or are people just friends with who they're friends with? Like, I don't know you. Like, why would you think that, like, we're just gonna be chit-chatting for hours and
And
hours?
it's not even everyone who makes the effort. You know, there are some people who actually put genuine effort into we're people, and I think we could make this work. And then we're returning the same kind of energy.
This
But
is the
others are just like, you know, because we follow each other, we should be telling each other our periods and stuff.
it's so weird. And I was saying to someone the other day, do you guys realize that, like, I've known Amin and Cindy for 4 years now? Like, you guys are acting as though, like, we're just clicky. But, like, some of the people on Bookstagram, and I think it's especially the accounts that are, like, more established and bigger, people don't understand that, like, I've known these people for like 3.5 years. Like, it's not, we didn't pop up last week and be, just join an African Bookstagram elite. Like, we don't have a WhatsApp group. It's just that, like, you get to know people over the years that you've known them, and then you become friends with them. Like, people will be like, they started Bookstagram last week, and they'll just be like, nobody wants to be my friend. I don't know you.
No
Like,
one is liking my
you're a
post.
stranger. Like, you're a literal stranger. Like, it's very bizarre. But anyway, what was the second question? What would I change about Bookstagram? I think I wouldn't change anything per se about Bookstagram and the way that it functions as a community. I think most of my changes would be on the publishing industry side, and the way that they relate to Bookstagram and social media creators as a whole. That would be, like, that's more, I think most of the problems stem from that. And also, low key, if I was president, I would have people take a written test to be able to recommend books. Like, I would have people take an oral or written test to discern your taste and your capacity to have taste before I allowed you to go on the internet and recommend books to people. Like, because sometimes I'm just like, there is just no way. Like, this is the problem I feel like people have, and everyone is always like, people have different tastes. I'm just like, fair enough, but also there's bad taste and good taste. So I would definitely, if I was a dictator on Bookstagram, I would have some sort of entry test requirement. And then if you fail the test, you're not allowed to come here and recommend books to other people's children.
I actually agree. I was, as you were talking, I was trying to find the tweet of someone who was recommending what they are calling dark romance these days. My God. And I was like, this is a felony. I can't even find it anymore. I think they've deleted it. I was like, this, you shouldn't be putting this out there. Like, this is not fine. It was about step siblings, and it
Oh no.
involved drugging someone. I'm like,
Oh,
this
it's, I know
is
exactly what
everything
you're talking about.
okay?
I was speaking about this book on BookTok, and it's like this book called Credence or something by Penelope Douglas. So what I'm understanding is that, like, this girl is like 17, and then she moves in with her, like, her step uncle and the step cousins, and then As soon as she turns 18, like they both go for her. And then it's like this whole weird incesty thing. And I was saying, I was just like, you guys are not okay. I was like, look, I get that we all have different tastes, but if you are reading that and then loving it and recommending it to other people, we have to
That's,
have a different kind of conversation about like
oh my
mentally where you
God.
are. Because that don't make no sense. And everybody, people were in my comments talking about the fact that, well, technically it's not incest because they're not related. I was like, guys, I'm black.
Really?
I'm African as shit.
That's your
That
brother
is your
and your
brother. I'm sorry,
uncle.
that is your uncle. Like, I don't care. Imagine saying like
What?
they're not blood related. I was like, guys, it doesn't work like that with black people. Y'all having a different kind of conversation. That is literally a definition of white people stuff because we
Oh.
that's your uncle, period. Full stop. End of story. Like, yeah, no. Doc, book talk, romance, whatever. They're going through a lot. And honestly, I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them all.
Okay, so in the spirit of transparency and all, for anyone who's thinking of starting Bookstagram or continuing on Bookstagram, are you making money yet from Bookstagram? Or like, what money-making opportunities do you see on Bookstagram?
So the thing is with Bookstagram is that it's an interesting question because I think I don't actually do a lot of like paid content on either of my platforms. Well, historically speaking, I do a couple of things, one or two a year, but most of the time, no. And I think most of the collabs that I do that are paid are not publishing house, are not from the book angle. It's usually something else. It's usually like I think the only paid campaign I've ever done on Bookstagram was the one I did for Akweki's release with Faber. And like I think that's the only paid content. I think that's the only paid content I've ever done on Bookstagram specifically. Okay, I have done paid content on TikTok, like one or two, but I think most of the time it's not, and I think this is the thing with Bookstagram that I think is one of those catch 22s, because I think that a part of the not it not being paid, there's an element of it like maintaining the integrity of people being able to review books without and taking recommendations without having to like worry. Because I think as someone who consumes content in a number of different other categories, like makeup content, it's so difficult to discern once it's paid content whether or not people are telling you the truth about something. So I do think that, but I also think that the publishing industry, there is a way that they should be paying Bookstagrammers. And I think it's more on the marketing side. I think we've spoken about this before, where there's a difference between reviewing a book and doing book marketing. They're not the same thing. Like a book review is like you've read the book and you're giving your opinions. But like book marketing is like to a certain extent, it's like when I'm traveling with a book and shooting a book on location in different parts of the world, or like coffee shops, or if you're actually promoting a book without speaking to the actual content of the book, you know what I mean? That's a slightly different, it's a different, yeah, it's a different avenue. And I think that that should be paid content. But yeah, I think people come on Bookstagram and then they get surprised when it's like you don't make money off Bookstagram. Only thing for Bookstagram is that you get you if you are a serious reader, you save money. You don't make money because once you get to the point where you're getting book mail, like I think now I request, I get like 90% of the books that I request, right? And I'm at the point now where I only request the things that are actually on my TBR, on my wish list, on my anticipated releases list, right? Because at first I was letting publishers send me anything. So I feel like if you're getting books for free, especially with the cost of books at the moment, you're actually saving money if you're going to buy that book anyway. That's the only, I guess, perk of Bookstagram is the free books. It's the only thing. You do it, we do it to the books, I guess. Yeah.
I feel like we need it's because some people always feel like Bookstagrammers are getting paid, and I do not know why. Maybe we just like a book, and sometimes we become like very passionate about it and like shouting from the rooftops, like, yo, this book is the bomb. Read, like, if I was being paid, that's not even the language I'll be using in the first place.
I think it's because
But
you know what it is? I also think that like I think some bookstagrammers in the US get paid, but I don't think, and it's actually mostly book talkers, by the way, which is why I do genuinely think that as fun as I find book talk to be, I do not think it's where you go for book recommendations because I think the landscape on TikTok is slightly more unwieldy. Like it's the wild, wild west and people are just doing whatever. I think personally, I do think that like if you are genuinely looking for book recommendations because you want to go and buy a book and you want to read a book, for the enjoyment of reading, you go to Bookstagram. That's where you go for actual book reviews. I think TikTok is just fun for you to kind of like engage in the space. And I say that as someone who recommends books on TikTok, but genuinely, I don't take recommendations from, do I actually? No. Do you know the only book recommendations I trust TikTok and specifically Black TikTok? Is indie Black romance recommendations because that they do really well. And I think
Yes, they do well.
Bookstagram is not, Bookstagram doesn't really do one, it's not a big,
Indeed.
it doesn't do romance, especially Black romance. It's not a big thing, even on Black Bookstagram. Like it's very contemporary, lit fic, fantasy centered. The romance girlies on Instagram are all almost exclusively like reading, like, the same Ali Hazelwood, whatever's that,
Yeah, it's like everyone is reading the same thing.
which is why I trust Black indie romance books to TikTok. But other than that, yeah, no, I'm not taking recommendations from TikTok because TikTok is reading Penelope Douglas. That's what they're doing. And the thing is, I can never take you seriously. Like they are reading, TikTok is the reason why we are back. We are now in this Colleen Hoover vortex. And I can't take book talk seriously as a recommendation. It's really fun to be on book talk to see people nerd out and the cute videos and the funny videos they make about being a reader, but not for Rex at all. Sorry, that conversation off front. But yeah, and the thing is, I'm gonna get in trouble. I was just on trouble on TikTok, so actually let me keep quiet because like, child, TikTok. Oh no, they'll actually finish me this time. Let me actually keep quiet. Let's move on. Sorry, TikTok. Sorry, book talk. You are the best.
Okay, one more question before we go into your recommendations. What school of thought do you belong to when it comes to trigger warnings in books?
Oh, this is such a good question because I believe so strongly in not giving trigger warnings. You know, I don't give them. I don't give them at all because you know what? I was having this conversation with my mom and like we were talking in general about the culture of this language of triggering because my mom is kind of like she's a life coach in her other life. We were talking about the fact that like as important as it is to have this kind of language, what it's kind of done is given people this idea. It's people are kind of like now almost making one the triggers. I don't know how to say this, but like instead of addressing the trigger, you're just kind of just letting it fester and then you're letting it dictate and move your life. Like I understand that things are triggering, but I think that like if something triggers you in a book, it means that is a sign from your body that you need to go and look into that and address it. It can't be a trigger forever and ever, amen. Like you need to go and you know what I mean? So I don't give trigger warnings in almost any of my books. And somebody asked me on TikTok the other day, can I give? And I was like, no, I can't because I feel like triggers are also spoilers to a large extent because I think like, okay, so have you read Before I Let Go by Kennedy Ryan?
I haven't yet, but now
Okay.
all of you are making me want to
Oh no,
jump
it's
on this
amazing.
train.
It's
I
amazing. So
haven't.
one of the things that happens in that book, I won't tell you what it is, but there's something that happens in that book that is considered a trigger. However, it's embedded into the plot in a way that's like you kind of see it simmering under the thing, but like the way that the author is revealing the information to me is an important part of like reading this book and unpacking the emotional journey of the characters. If you know that this particular thing is going to happen, the second you start reading these characters, you already know where this is going. And I think it undermines the work that the author is kind of trying to do. And it's like, for example, like you see like people put trigger warnings like a parent death or something like that. And then you're like, that's literally such a huge twist in like the second half of the book. And now the person already knows that this is going to happen. So I don't give them, but I do think for the people who need triggers, I've seen quite a lot of authors put them in themselves and put them, I feel like they should be at the back of the book, not in the
Yeah. Oh,
front.
God will honor you. Yes, at the back of the
I
book.
feel like those of us who don't need them or want them, we shouldn't have to see them by accident. Because I've seen triggers by accident. Because I actually read the freaking front cover. I read the, what you call this thing, the quote in the beginning, the dedication. I read everything because I want the context of the book. I have run into triggers by mistake because they're in the front of the book and I didn't realize. So I feel like they should be in a section at the back of the book, like after the acknowledgments, so that if you want them, you can go and find them and then read them, and then the rest of us don't have to necessarily read them. So I and that's for the people on Insta, on IG and TikTok. Just know, for me, I will never be giving you trigger warnings. It's just not, it's just I don't think it's my role as a bookstagrammer. I think that's the author's decision to make what they want to warn you about and what they don't want to warn you about. Yeah.
I totally get it. And there was one essay I read one time. I can't remember who wrote it, but it was also on the issue of trigger warnings. Yeah. And she had had an interview with someone. That's the person who wrote the essay. And that person was saying, well, if you put sexual assault in the front of the book, like that's not what is going to trigger her. Because for her, when she was assaulted, it was the color green. Like a green t-shirt was what triggered her. And it's like if I'm reading a book and the author decides to describe someone wearing a green t-shirt, that just takes her out of the story because it's like, whoa, green t-shirt. And then she remembers it's not even the sexual assault you get. So it's like, what is the limit? Like you don't even know what is going to trigger another person. We're just like
Yeah.
generalizing. Okay. Right. So I think we should now. Before we digress, this is now the time where you drop your five recommendations. Well, five books you'd love people to get into ASAP.
Oh,
You have the floor.
okay. So I'll start with my favorite book of all time. Okay, not my favorite book of all time, but my favorite recommendation, African Lit. So it's obviously, I speak about this book all the time. It's Under the Udala Trees by Chinelo Quaranta. I speak about this book almost every time someone asks me, or even when I get asked for like recommendations, I will always say this because I think that it's like, it's African contemporary fiction at its best. I think Chinelo like did such a superb job with this entire story. I think like it's like the she like the historical context that she gives, but also the way that she kind of delves into the internal lives of her characters is amazing. I like the queer element of the book. I like everything about this book. I think it's just a superbly well-written African contemporary fiction, and it's like in that school, you know, that school of like that like group of like that like Secret Lives of Baba Segi's Wives, like conditions that like when like I almost want to say that like golden age of like African contemporary fiction. It was that like good 10 years where we were getting like, now we're hit and miss. Now we're standing on very shaky ground, but like there was that
And
good.
sorry for interrupting. Do you know what
No.
pains me about Under the Udala Trees? This book is not as, it's still an underdog in these parts. I don't know, maybe it's because it's queer and maybe it's going to have like a reawakening very soon in this part, maybe with Gen Z readers, but like
I get shocked whenever I post this book on a graphic or something, and people are saying, I've never seen this book. I get surprised
it's
every
so
time.
odd.
And I get surprised when African readers tell me they've never heard of this book before. I'm shocked every time because I'm just like, what do you mean? Like, this book is sitting in the same category as Nervous Conditions. It's sitting in the same categories of all the
Yes.
beachy books that everybody is always recommending. Like, how are you telling me you've read Americana or you've heard of it, but you've never read this book? Like, this, it's still so, it's that's, and I think that's also why I recommend it every time. It's so completely under, it's so underhyped. It should be at the top of everybody's list because it literally is like, it's so elite. And it's funny because I'm scared to read her second book because it's such a huge departure
I
into
know I
like,
haven't either.
I'm very scared to read because
Oh
I can't hate her book because like you know that I'm struggling with reading. I kind of semi DNF'd Ayobami Adebayo's second one, and it's making me very sad to the point where I've put it on the side as a, I have to go back and finish it because I'll actually won't forgive myself if I just DNF it completely. But that's the thing with authors who have like an absolute fave of a first book is that I always find it so difficult to read a second book because almost always you're comparing, and then like it's almost like, yeah. So yeah, that's my always first reco. Okay, my second recommendation is a book that I love so much. It's so me coded, but it's just so back and forth in the reading community. It's You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty by Akwaeke Omezi. I love
Okay.
this book.
Okay.
And
I love this book, actually. I do.
Cindy hates it. And I'm always just like, Cindy, one thing about you is I was telling her literally yesterday that she hates love. That's the problem. That's the problem. Because she was asking me about this other book, like if she should read it. I was like, don't read that. I love that book. You're gonna hate it because you hate love. I love I feel like You Made a Fool of Your Death with Your Beauty is such a, it's so deliciously messy. And like the romance, it's like, you know, when I read that book, the whole time I was reading it, when I realized what was going to happen, I was like, no, Akweki is not going to do this. There's no way they're going to do this. And I was like, and then as I'm reading, I'm like, holy shit, they're actually going to do this. And then they made me stan and they made me believe it. And I was just like, absolutely, I'm obsessed with that book. I wish we got a sequel. I feel like we need a novella of some sort. I feel like I'm putting that out in the
Just
universe.
to tie things
Just
together.
tying things together. And I also just think generally, Akweki, just the length and breadth of their writing, like their capacity to just jump
It's the range for me. I
within so
just,
many genres.
wow.
It's like, and the thing is, it's like, how are your YA books 5 stars, and then your memoir is 5 star, and then your contemporary fiction is 5 star, your magical realism is 5 star, and then a romance is 5 star, and now we're getting something that's sort of like a fantasy. I have the manuscript in front of me. I'm going to read it soon, of Little Rot. But like, I just think their artistry is amazing. So yeah, I could talk about that all day. So that's another one that I personally recommend. Then the third is another is a book series. Well, it's an author book series. My favorite fantasy series is by Nalini, an author called Nalini Singh.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've seen on your page.
It's so she has two. So this author has two series that are not connected at all, and both of the series have like 15, 16 books in the series, and I've read all of them
Jesus
up to
Christ.
date. Like they're so good. So the first one is, I think, Guild Hunter series, and then the Psy Changeling series.
Okay.
I personally think the Guild Hunter series, no, is it better? No, I don't think either is better than the other, but I think that like start with the Guild Hunter series. It's
Okay.
paranormal romance. It's like angels and vampires and humans, and it's amazing. And I think this is one of those series as well. I was talking about it on TikTok the other day, talking about it's just completely underhyped. If anyone was needed to go viral as an incredible writer, it's Nalini Singh. Her books are like, it's elite paranormal romance. For my werewolf, vampire, changeling, shifter girls, like it's elite. Like I,
Have you read the Dragon Book? What's that one? The fourth something.
yeah, I read
Fourth.
Fourthling.
Okay, so Nalini is way better than that.
Nalini is better than Fourthling. Rebecca Yarros is, even though I gave you Rebecca Yarros's book 5 stars and I actually enjoyed it for what it was, I did say that like it's one of those books where it's a nice ride, and I gave it 5 stars because it like I enjoyed the reading. But like Nalini Singh's like entire world building, the entirety of the series, the book, the smut, the romance, it's just the perfect, her books are the perfect balance across the board. Like Rebecca Yarros's book is got nothing on Nalini Singh, and I think the same Sarah J. Maas doesn't even touch Nalini Singh in her
Okay.
universe. Like I think, yeah, Nalini Singh, I could talk about her all day. Like I think her books are incredible. And then the other one I feel like is Only for the Weak by Natasha Bishop, which is a Black indie author, and it's a romance book. I just think that Natasha Bishop wrote a superb romance. I think it's funny, it's
Oh.
messy, it's sexy. The
I
male main
just
character,
I
yeah.
actually just got this on Kindle last night and I'm
Oh
very
no,
excited.
you're gonna love it. The
Anyway,
MMC,
yeah,
the
okay.
male main character, is literally like, he is the perfect, like he, I feel like Rome is the book boyfriend every book boyfriend wishes they could be. Like he is elite level.
Ooh.
I just think the
Okay.
whole book is, It's messy. There's so many parts of it where you're thinking, girl, if you don't stand up and fight this girl, like it's like family drama as well. And it's like, because I think the plot is that her sister's marrying her ex, and then they're like they've gone for the wedding at like on a destination part, and it's just, oh, it's superb. I think that's one of those, and I think it's also the book that got me into reading black indie romance. So I think that's why also I'm obsessed with it. And then, the last recommendation, I think, okay, no, I have two. The last one, the second last one is, I would say, The Bride Price by Butchie Amacheta, because I think it's, did I read The Bride Price first? No, I didn't read, it wasn't my first, I feel like I read, what did I read first? Yeah, I did read The Bride Price first. Like, I think it's a great way to read, to start with Chima Chetsu's body of work, who's an incredible, I think, yeah, she's Nigerian, an incredible part of the African writing canon, a female writer. And I think that, like, it opens, I think Butchie's writing is also very, it's like, it's easy to read, if that makes sense. It's like got depth, but it's not particularly difficult to read with just like, and some classics are, because sometimes you read a Chebe and you're just like, my boy, like, make this easier. Like, make this simple. Like, when I read Googie, I was like, Googie, make this easier. Because, like, you're making this very difficult for me to, I can't even talk about Ben or Cree because I couldn't finish The Famished Road. I was just like, I'm just not smart enough to read this. Like,
I still haven't finished The Famished Road. Oh my
no,
God.
I couldn't finish
And
it. But, like, Butchie Amacheta does such a good job of writing about what it means to be like a woman in like African families, and also because I think she immigrated to the UK. That experience of being an immigrant and like navigating that and having children in another place, and them straddling different cultures, and the kind of the way that like womanhood sits on top of your shoulders in these kind of contexts and raising kids. I think she just is an incredible writer. And so she's one of my favorite of the African canon. And then the last book is part of my Greek mythology
I
obsession.
was waiting for you to drop Greek mythology. I would have
Like,
reminded you if it wasn't one on this list.
this is like not my secret obsession. This is like my thing. Like, I studied classics in school and I have a serious obsession with Greek mythology. So, I would say the one that I just read the most recently is a book called Herc by Phoenicia Rogerson. It is my first top 10 for 2024. It is incredible. I think
Oh,
the audiobook especially is so good. It's so funny. So it's like basically like a retelling of the story of Hercules, but from all the narrative voice in different chapters is all the people who are a part of Hercules's whole mythology. so
wow.
everybody other than Hercules himself gets a narrative voice. So he's the center of the story, but he doesn't actually get to narrate any of it, which I think is such an interesting way. So you get to see this, like, I think the tagline is like, it's like father, villain, lover, warrior, hero, something like that. So it's basically like all these different facets of him. I think the writing is smart. I think it's witty. I think it's so sad. Like, you just, I think, I don't know. I just think, and I also, and it's really important to me that like the queer element of Hercules's mythology is like really like, because the love of his life is like, I think both of them are men in the book, which is true, other than like the other books that you read on Hercules. So that, and then, also Stone Blind by Natalie Haynes, which is like a retelling of Medusa. That one is also superb. If you want a female, a woman-centered retelling. I just think, you know what? Actually, I just realized I've never done a post on Greek mythology Rex on their own, and I need to do that because
Yeah, you actually need to do
I'm
that
actually
because,
thinking
like,
right now.
individual posts. You always make it clear that this is the business you're standing on.
Honestly, like, Greek mythology literally is the hill I'm prepared to die on. And the thing is, I'm realizing now, like, I've posted them individual recs, but I've never done like a comprehensive, because everybody, and mind you, I gave both 5 stars. It's always Circe and A Song of Achilles, and Madeline Miller is that girl. But like, there are so many other books outside of those two that are like super popular. Actually, I must do that. Actually, give me an idea. But yeah, those are the books that like are my main recommendations. That would be my, yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, my TBR just got longer. So what is one book you recently read that was not working at all?
Wait, what did I recently read that was not working? Wait, I'm looking on my shelf now because I think there actually is one. What did I read recently? There's something that I put on my.
Is it a spell of good things?
The thing is with the spell of good things is that like I almost want to say it, and the thing is I'm hopeful that like it's a me problem and not the book problem. I'm hopeful that like the reason I don't like it is because I'm just not in the moment where I should be reading it. So like I don't want to necessarily say that book because I'm hoping that like I'm gonna pick it up again and then just like it's just gonna work. But yeah, it probably that's the one that's like the closest to my memory that like it's the only DNF I've done in the past couple of months.
Okay.
Is that one. And then as a side note, the book that I'm the most scared to read because I suspect that I'm going to hate it is Kylie Reid's new book because I got the publisher sent me a copy of Come and Get It. And I'm very nervous. I'm nervous because everyone says it's like Such a Fun Age. And when I read Such a Fun Age, I actually gave it like 3.5 stars. I said I enjoyed it. But as
I
I've thought
didn't
about it
want.
more over the last 2, 3 years, I've hated it more as I've thought about it. You know, when Cindy was dragging that book for Phil, I was like, Cindy, you're such a hater. Now that I'm like, I've read more books and I'm a little bit older and wiser, and I don't have that rosy glow of being just starting Bookstagram, I'm like, you know what? She was 100% correct. She's 100% correct about that book. So now I'm nervous to read Kylie Reid's second book. So, because everyone says it's the same. Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Well, you know what? I'm not going to spoil it for you. Fingers crossed. Looking forward to your thoughts on it. That's all I can say. Okay. So I actually have to ask this question because people have gone around it with you. No, they've not gone around it. They've asked you properly, but we need to put the situation to rest. Look, Kukanya, what is it with you and South African books?
Oh God,
Yeah.
I literally thought this question was going to be one of two things. Oh God, South African literature, just oh God. I just fundamentally think that it's just not good. I think South African writing, fiction writing, let me specify, because I think South African nonfiction has like great, like they are great. Like I could give you five nonfiction recommendations off rip that I feel like are really great books. The problem with South African fiction, right, is that South African fiction is. It's preoccupied so much with this blessee, slay queen culture that I think is so bizarre. Like all the books that people recommend are, they have some element of that to them. And then they're also, I don't know how to explain this. Like it's not, and even the books that you read where you can see the author's skill set in writing, the ability to construct a narrative just isn't there, which is the reason why even every time I talk about South African literature, I always blast the publishing industry, the editors and the teams more than the authors, because it's, I think for me, it's a crisis of like editing. There is something wrong with the way that South African books are being edited. There's something wrong with the way that they're being like constructed. There's something wrong. I don't know what it is. Like there's something wrong, because when I compare it to like even books by authors from Zimbabwe, and it's literally just across the border, like there's a richness to the way that like Zimbabwean authors are telling stories that South Africa just doesn't have. And I don't understand what it is that's gone wrong. I want to also, I also feel like there's an element with like, I feel like there's something to do with apartheid. There's something to do with the education. There's something to do with the way in which like storytelling is it happens in South Africa. But like, yeah, like I was like, every time people ask me for South African recs, I was like, I probably have two. that I could give you. And it's like when I read the only author that I could actually recommend and his book, and he passed away like a lot quite a while ago, was K. Slowdaker, The Quiet Violence of Dreams. It's the artistry in that book, the ability to construct a narrative that's like rich and well written, that I feel like he has no peers in the rest of the South African like fiction literary space. And it's very, very sad. Because I wish I could be like Cindy, or I wish I could be like you, where I could just be sitting like, yes, Caribbean books. I've got recs on recs on recs. I am like sitting here in the corner having to recommend, having to have lists of African lit recommendations and with not a South African in sight. And people are just like, girl, do you hate them? I was like, they hate me. They obviously hate me. So yeah, I
Oh
find,
gosh.
yeah, no, this thing actually upsets me so much. But yeah, I haven't yet found a South African writer, a contemporary writer of now, that I could like in the fiction category that I could be like, yeah, sorry guys, yikes.
Because yeah, it was what I noticed when you dropped the lineup for the reading challenge around the world. Yeah, you should actually talk about that. We've not even gone into that. The reading challenge.
I thought about putting a South African on that list, but then I thought my conscience would be, I would never be able to sleep. I would never be able to live with myself because I'm gonna be like, when I have to recommend books to people, I'm gonna say what? Say they must read what? Like I just,
Yeah, this, yeah.
and I felt like I started with as much as like South Africa and Nigeria beefing constantly, I have to give credit where credit is due. I have to be honest about the fact that like we are just not. Like we might be World Cup winners, but like this is just not our wheelhouse. Like literature is just not, it's not our thing. So yeah, the Around the World in Books Challenge is, it's really fun. And funny enough, I was like, I have to almost tell on myself because February with Nigerian month, I did not read a book because I was waiting for Blessings, for my copy of Blessings to arrive, which arrived only like beginning of May. So I mean March, so I'm gonna read it and then like retrospectively put it, but I think it's just a fun challenge to kind of travel a little bit through books, but also I think the whole situation and the kind of the genocide in Palestine made me realize when I was, as it started happening, I realized that like there is a lot about the world that we all don't know. There's just a lot of things that people just don't know. And I think that like reading fiction books is a really is a way that you can actually start to understand the kind of lived experiences of different people and just kind of breed more empathy and more understanding. Because even myself, as someone who reads so much, and I always thought of myself as like a wide reader, I realized there are a lot of gaps because of the fact that, like, which is fair enough, I do have an African lit focus. I have an African lit bias when it comes to contemporary fiction. And then I also have a just generally black romance bias in most of the books that I read. I realized that like I don't read, I don't think, remember the last time I read a book by an author from the Middle East. I don't remember the last time I read an author, a book from an author like that was Eastern European or someone that was like Asian specifically. Like I think even as black readers, as African readers, there is space for us to kind of expand and understand so that when we're trying to unpack and address some of these kind of global issues that we're having in your even your small way, you understand the interconnectedness of these things. So that was kind of like the impetus for me kind of wanting to do the challenge. And I also just thought it would be fun to challenge myself to see if I could find books that I like in these different places. It's funny because when I made the Nigeria graphic, like I just had copious amounts of recommendations and I've read most of them. I was just like, really, I just moved to Nigeria, honestly. I just married a Nigerian man. Because at this point, is she not Nigerian?
Please,
Am I not?
no, absolutely not. What? Let back up. Marry Nigerian man, absolutely not.
They can't be worse than South African men. They literally could
Sis,
never. South
when I
African
tell
men are
you
demon worse.
they are double, they are more than double, actually. But the thing is, the thing with the Nigerian men is you will have a good time, but the way your heart will be broken.
And that's the thing. I feel like at this point we have to just choose the lesser of two evils because South African men, not only will you not have a good time, like you are also going to see us like South African men are like they are demon bred. Like it's just not, it's not, oh Lord, no, it's not a real thing. Like I would rather have a man who's gonna treat me nicely and take me out for the 3 months that I have him and then I'll cry. myself to sleep with all the memories of all the nice things that I did, and then call it a day. Because South African men, like, oh Lord, just absolutely. But yeah, I'm excited to do the challenge and see how it goes for the rest of the year. Because I'm doing that, and I'm doing the Something Bookish challenge, which I feel like I'm sorry, girl. I feel like I've done. I think I've done 4 prompts now of the challenge. I'm trying to keep.
Oh, four already. Damn.
And then I'm
Okay.
also trying to do. Sin no, Renee started a 12 charisma
Yes.
challenge, which I'm doing as well. And then also trying to do the what's the other one I'm doing? 12 books by African writers, but that's just like me personally trying to keep up with that one. Is there am I doing another challenge?
Okay.
Oh yeah, and Christelle's 20 books by Black folks, which is so easy.
Ah.
Most of the books I read are by Black people that I usually last year I finished the challenge by like March. I feel like this year I'm gonna probably finish the challenge like by like March as well. But yeah, those are the challenges that I'm doing. Yeah.
Okay, because the countries on your challenge, is it because of Cindy that the first Caribbean country on your list is Jamaica? Was this a Cindy coded one?
It is? Funny enough, Jim, I try to pick countries also selfishly. I had planned trips to some of these countries. I planned to go there in those months. And I
Ah,
thought it would be really
okay.
cool to shoot content at the times, which is why, I mean, the Jamaica month, it's a Caribbean book in that month because it is a re-Caribbean month in any case. And I also just thought, okay, like I might go to Jamaica to see Cindy at that month. So I was like, okay. And then also it was an issue of as I said, when I posted the challenge, it was also books were picked by accessibility as well. Because I did speak to Cindy, and I think I also when I chose Mexico for the Central South America, I spoke to Carmen, and I was just like, in terms of quantity, which country has the most books? I feel like for year one of the challenge, I wanted to give people a chance to find something easy, which is crazy because when I was trying to go through Egypt, I realized I actually picked a really difficult country because Egypt doesn't. I thought it would be much more. There'd be much more books in English, but I was like, because I only did 8 or 9 recommendations, because I was like, I literally couldn't find anything else that I would personally read. But yeah, I tried to be. Go according to accessibility instead of just country. Yeah. And then also just like
I mean,
zigzag around the world.
yeah, I think for this first edition is actually pretty well. Maybe it's because I've been like intentionally doing the whole travel around the world through books. When I saw the countries for this first edition, I was like, you know what? I can actually just it's I'm taking my time, which is why I haven't finished the entire prompt. Because I could pick a book literally for every country. It's pretty easy. And they're from countries I enjoy reading from. I mean, Kenya, they own East Africa, literally. When I'm looking for books from East Africa, Kenyans, they are all over the place. And then Southeast Asia. Well, no, East. Is it Southeast Asia or East Asia? Where is Korea in? Southeast or just the East? I think it's just the East.
I just think it's
Huh.
east. I think
I think
southeast
it's
is
East.
like Thailand and stuff. No, it's not. Southeast is like Bali. It's like Indonesia and Malaysia and Singapore.
Aha. Right. Okay. So yeah, I mean, this March is Korean March. So you have like just hashtag Korean March, you get like recommendations from all the Korean, well, people who love those of us who are deep in our Korean wave at this point, like. That was such an easy pick.
You were
Egypt, when I
literally.
saw Egypt, I was like, this is beautiful serendipity because this Indulgent Bibliophile was reading Woman at Point Zero this March. So that was easy. Everybody's literally going to take this off. And then Sudan, yeah, it's gonna be a little Sudan, I think, was the only tough one on my list.
I feel like I put Sudan there because of the fact that like I need to finish Leila Abu Leila's body. I was done, and it was honestly just a selfish thing. Like, first of all, I want everybody to read at least one Leila Abu Leila book. But also, I think like I want to read the newest one. And I was just like, you know what? It's gonna force me to actually pick that book up because I put it off for such a long time. When it came out, I was like, I'm gonna get it, I'm gonna get it, and then I didn't get it. So I feel like that was purely selfish for that reason. Even when I do the prompt, when I do my graphic for that month, it's literally just gonna be like, guys. Go and pick up a Leila Abu Leila book. Don't talk to me about anything. So get one of her books and then let's like call it a day. That's literally, And I feel like you need to send me K-drama recommendations. Like, I have nothing to watch at the moment.
Wait, I wait, are you just trying to get into K-dramas or like you've dabbled a little bit?
I've never watched a single K-drama, but like every time you guys, because I'm currently back on my Criminal Minds shit at the moment again. So I feel like I need something that's like I'm struggling to sleep at night because I keep watching these episodes that are completely throwing me off. Like yesterday I watched this episode where I was like, okay, I have to switch the lights back on because I was like, wow, okay, this just got really hectic. But yeah, I want something like wholesome. I need to find something wholesome that I can just watch. Like that's gonna be just like cute and like romancy. Like I haven't watched like anything like really romantic in such a long time. Like, and I want to watch One Day,
Okay.
but I'm scared to cry. So I don't want something that's gonna make me cry. Like I don't need that level of, I don't want emotional damage. I just want like light.
Okay, wholesome. I mean, yeah, I can give you wholesome. Yeah, I actually can. My mom never used to be a romance girly, and then I gave her one K drama romance, and now she won't shut up about the male lead. And I'm like, look at you. Really?
Yeah.
Wow, how the mighty have fallen.
No. I need to be a part.
Okay.
I need to be a part of it, and it's making me super jealous. Because like every time people are going on and on and on about like K-dramas, I'm just like, guys, I literally am so out of it.
I'm so like, since I started, I think only Turkish movie shows have been able to move me, but I don't think I've seen any Western American UK show. I have been unable to focus because I start watching the when my mom is watching and I'm like, wow, thank you for nothing. This was like a complete waste of my time. And then I just wait for her to finish the show and then I give her another recommendation. Yay, let's start. But yeah, I'm deep, I'm stuck there. And I'm also jealous of what the women are currently doing in Korea, letting the rest of the world know that the men in the movies are literally just fictional boyfriends and we need to
Honestly, I feel
focus.
like
I'm so
the
jealous of what those women
Korean
are
women's
doing.
movement, what's it called? The four, it's four something.
The four, oh shit, I can't remember. Something with
It is
four. Is
such
it
a
Big
power
Four?
move because, quite frankly, honestly, like men don't, they're not going to learn any other way. They're literally
There's
not
no,
going to learn any
they
other way.
won't.
They don't
They
listen to
won't.
reason. They don't listen to, like, they're not listening to words. So it's at this point, like, I feel like being like, you know what? This entire culture and ethnic group can just die. We're good. It's a power move. And I feel like this is a movement that like women across the world should take on, because honestly, at this point, like men are taking the piss very, very hard. Like in South Africa, we should honestly just be like, you know what? You guys are like, you are killing us at such an exponential rate. Like at this point, you guys are just taking the piss. So we must just all just leave it. And like,
Yeah, let's just end. Let's end.
let's just end. Let's just leave it, because like in Xhosa, they you say umntohlulekile. Like it means that like it's like beyond you. Like how do I translate this into English? Like when someone is like they tried and they're failing, it's beyond them. Like it's beyond their grasp. Like men umntohlulekile. Like they can't. It's they're not able to. They can't. They're not able to handle like just functioning as adult humans. So at this point, let's all just leave it. Let's just leave it to the aliens. They can come and take over Earth. We're good. Like
Honestly,
at
they
this
can come and take over. I'm like, we're so done.
we're
Done,
so
done.
done.
Like,
They can
there's no need.
honestly, they can come and have it. Like
No
we are
more
like,
debates. Tired of talking. Even today, it was so hard. I except the brands that I'm handling, I couldn't put any International Women's Day post out. Like I couldn't come up with anything useful because I was like, let's just stop. Like you people just need to stop. I'm tired. Like all the women in me are tired,
yeah,
exhausted.
I
Like
don't
now
even.
it's because today, okay, just before we started recording, there's this brand in Nigeria, tomato puree or something. So a lady put out a review that the product wasn't nice and she made jollof rice or something or made stew and it wasn't nice. Do you know that this woman was arrested by the police for giving a negative review?
I'm sorry, what?
I know, this entire country is a crime scene, by the way. And then today that company puts out a post celebrating women and I'm like, This woman is still in custody because of you, and you have the audacity to celebrate women on International Women's Day? Like, how does it even make sense? The fact that she's still in custody for writing a negative. Anytime I go to the store and I see that product, I always push it to the back. Like, I hide it behind other things. I'm
That's
so
actually, first
pissed.
of all, that's an yo. That's an insane thing to happen. But all these brands, like I think it was yesterday during World Book Day. Who was it? Oh God, what's her name? She was posting about the fact that like World Book Day as an organization is an organization about children, right? So it's about girls on
Yeah.
the street. And she was talking about the fact that like as an organization, they have not a single time posted about Palestine, about the genocide, about the children in Palestine,
Not
not even
once,
once.
not
So
once.
how
With
are
the
you gonna
amount
come
of
to
kids
us now and talk
dying,
about World
being
Book Day, talk
killed.
about literacy? You don't give a damn about these kids. Like, and the thing about it that I just wish brands would be a lot more honest. Like, say that you're talking about literacy for white kids and then keep it pushing. Like, just let's just keep it real. And I think those types of things are why, like, I almost feel like brands, just be quiet then. Just be
Just
quiet.
don't talk because you don't really care. You're just trying to make money. Just
Yeah,
keep
and the thing
quiet.
is, like, we're not all stupid. Like, it's this lack of like situational awareness. And my mom and I were talking about this, that like not only just like brands, it's like the prime example is this whole saga around Palestine, but with like McDonald's and Starbucks and all of these brands. It's like we're talking about the fact that like there is a very real problem with having everyone in your executive team be old white men is that the lack of situational awareness means that like they still think that it's 1920 where you could do whatever you liked and like people won't react. But like you are dealing with like Gen Z and millennials, like people are ready to jump at any provocation. So as a brand, why would you even you're just actually just like starting shit for no reason. We're talking about the fact that like there's just a lack of just general situational awareness. And I think people are just over it across the board. Like, we don't really need to spend our
It's
money on
exhausting.
things
It's
like,
so
especially
exhausting.
in a market where there's so many options for everything. We don't need to spend our money with you if you just don't know how to behave. And it's so easy as a brand, in my opinion, to get it right. You just shut your mouth, okay? And you just going about business. All of these like public statements and doing all the rest of this stuff, y'all just doing way too much.
We can tell it's fake.
That's
It's
the thing.
so fake. Anywho, yeah, we've digressed, but
Always.
this has been a fun chat, and thank you so much for coming to talk books with me. Is there anything you'd like to shout out? Do you wanna plug anything?
Do I want to plug anything? No, just all I want to say is please like go to your local bookstore and buy books because bookstores are closing because you people are not buying books. And also attend your local book festival so that they could open and that they can get budgets so that they can send us tickets to come to them. God, like
Yay.
I am literally trying to go to, I actually am going to go to a book festival in South Africa. I don't know how that's going to go. Actually, no, I'm excited to go to Friendship Book Festival. It's just like, I hope no one asks me about any South African books because that would be awkward. But like,
They will ask you, like, it's a South African book festival. Hello.
yeah, but I'll just smile. And then there's one in Kenya that everybody should be trying to go to. If you need recommendations of books in Nairobi, ask me.
African book
Cindy and I
fair.
got you. And then Akhe in this year. That's literally my whole
Yes.
go to Akhe this year. Those of
Very
you who asked
excited.
me were asking me millions of questions last year. You have an opportunity now to get on a flight and go to Lagos. Like, just do it. Yeah.
All righty. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Ah, this has been so much fun.
It was fun. Oh.
So my TMI of the episode is I have noticed that the older I get, the more I am attracted to men who have a little bit of gay in them. I mean, it's just maybe it's my bisexual side that is speaking, but I do like men who can confuse your your radar, okay, that make you wonder, is he gay? Is he bi? What's the story here? It's just the vibes. It's not something I can explain. And I've only met like one or two in Lagos. We don't have a lot of them. I mean, a little bit of, it's just, I don't know how to explain it. But what about you? Is there anything you've noticed about people that you're attracted to, the older you've gotten? Has your taste remained the same?
Yay, you made it to the end. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would love to read or hear any comments or feedback you have. And you can do that by sending me a message on Twitter or Instagram at Lip Gloss Mafia. That's LipGlossMafia. Subscribe or follow now so you don't miss out on the next episode, which is always available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. If you enjoy this podcast, and I know you do because you are still listening, kindly spread the book love by spreading the word. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, rate and leave a review. What this does is it helps new listeners find the show. As you know, shares and reviews are my love language. Thank you in advance. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you for listening. Readers, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And like Jim Rohn said, reading is essential for those who seek to rise above the ordinary. Happy reading, everyone. Bye.